Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it, Friday. You made it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, brought to Chicago, Danny Burke, producing and engineering today. And we are loaded up. We'll get caught up here in about 20 minutes with Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. A lot of work with Patrick O'Brien. We don't know who's going to start tomorrow afternoon against Penn State. You think that things will work out, and you think things look towards Tanner Lee. He's practiced the last couple of days. He's looked good. You need medical clearance. That said, you've had the first couple of days of O'Brien taking the reps, and I don't know. I don't know that it's going to matter on Saturday, but we can talk quarterback here for a little bit. We're going to run down Bill Dolman in about 5 minutes, the pride of Fairbury, get his thoughts on Nebraska football, talk a little coaching carousel with him, and his thoughts on Nebraska basketball. Welcome to join us today on Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork, and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio. So Steve Calhoun coming up, Bill Dolman shortly, and we'll get caught up with Greg Smith of Hail Varsity. We'll talk coaching. We'll talk Husker hoops. We'll get into recruiting with Mr. Greg in 1 hour. Don't forget the forecast with Klausburn is coming up. Maybe a surprise prediction or two with that. So Nebraska football en route to Penn State. Big Ten game day is going to be there. Big Ten tailgate, forgive me. And listen, man, this is one of those games you circled at the beginning of the year, and you're like, okay, this will tell you how the season went. Success slash failure slash underachieve slash overachieve. Okay? That's what it was. You're basing the season off Ohio State, Wisconsin performance, and then the November showdowns, back-to-back Penn State and Iowa. Well, things have been shot to hell. They just have been. It's been a tough season, a lot of injuries, a lot of noise, and a change at some point here in the near future. That's what everyone believes is going to happen, so you're just playing this thing out. Well, how do you play it out? If you're in Nebraska and you get the green light with Tanner Lee, is he going to give you the best chance to win? You think so. He's had some good moments. He's done well against some good defenses. I'm a little bit intrigued to Patrick O'Brien, his mobility, what he can do. Not that you'd switch the offense up to zone read folks to death, but you'd have that option and ability based on his mobility. Interesting write-up I saw in the World Herald, and that is when it comes to being vocal. And you've heard Bill Moose mention leadership a lot. What type of vocal work is being done with this Nebraska football team by some of the members? Well, you know, Luke Gifford's one of your leaders. He's out. He had surgery yesterday. Mick Stoltenberg is a guy that's tried to be more vocal. He's addressed the team in the post game, did so against Minnesota. He has spoken up at halftime against Oregon. That's a good sign that, yeah, you still care. And you've had Gerald Foster say it this week. That's a big question you have. You're not wondering if Nebraska is going to play well. You're not wondering if Nebraska is going to show up. You're wondering about really the effort and energy put into the game. And are you still going at it from a standpoint of, let's try and win this thing, let's go show we care, let's put the effort in, let's play with pride? I mean, all those things that you got to kind of reach deep for at this point when the going gets tough versus a situation with Nebraska being in the thick of things for a statement win, a bowl berth, positioning for a Big Ten West championship. All that's out the door. So you have a guy like Mick Stoltenberg that has stepped up, tried to be more vocal, trying to bring guys along. We'll hear from Coach Riley on the injury situation, on the quarterback situation, but that's a big thing for me. When it comes to this Nebraska team, how bad does it get tomorrow? Is there still some fight left? Because that's what you want to see. I don't know if you're going to watch or not, but I assume you're still going to check it out. Stranger things have happened. I'm not calling upset, but I don't think Nebraska plays as horrible, and it's hard to, but I don't think they play as horrible as they did last week, where they got off to an awful start. There was no answer defensively. I think the offense will be okay, and if you get Tanner Lee back under center, things could be okay, and you got to be encouraged by what you saw with O'Brien. Defensively is my question. Are you pulling the old Lloyd Christmas, putting both hands over your ears, going la la la, you're just not listening to the D coordinator anymore? Are you done with him? And there's been some insinuation based on answers players have given, in my opinion, this week that, yeah, I guess we got to listen to the guy. He's our defensive coordinator, not, hell yes, we would walk over hot coals for Bob Diaco. That ship has sailed. Let's welcome in the Pride of Fairbury. We need a little extra time with him because he's got a lot to say and very important things to say. NBC Sports' own Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Billy D., a lot to get into. Nebraska football, Husker basketball. Sir, how are you?
Well, don't forget, we need to talk about long track speed skating, second World Stop of the Year, World Cup Stop of the Year in Norway. And, you know, I think it's been a decent start for Team USA. Certainly could be some improvements, but I thought we saw a lot more improvement today over what we saw last week in the Netherlands, especially on the women's side. But make no mistake about it, the Netherlands always the team to beat. But Norway's off to a good start with Halvor Lorentzen picking up a couple of wins today in the 500 and the 1,000.
I want to switch gears to what I envision being pretty popular in Norway, and that's outdoor hot tubs. how's the hot tub game, do you think, in Norway after speed skating
today?
I
don't think that's going to make the Olympic Channel show, but nevertheless, I'll put it in the suggestion box for tomorrow's or Sunday's show.
Schmidt the perv wants to know about hot tubs. Okay,
yeah, it's one of the deleted scenes from Spartacus.
It is. Unleash hell. Listen. Tell me about tomorrow here. What are you expecting from Nebraska? I was talking a little bit here before we grabbed you about some of the upperclassmen still speaking, still trying to push this team along. You have a quarterback that is kind of supposed to be a rising star in Patrick O'Brien that really came in a tough situation and didn't soil the bed. He did well. The rest of the team did not. What did you make of Saturday? What do you make of this Saturday? Last Saturday and this Saturday?
Well, when you play a team like the Minnesota Vikings and Chuck Foreman and Alan Page and guys like that, you know, it's pretty tough to Brant Tarkington. Mm. You know, you're gonna get beat around, especially when you play them at home and the snow and the weather and Bud Grant on the sidelines. It's tough to beat a team like that. So it's understandable as to what happened. Oh, you mean it wasn't those Minnesota teams?
No, it's the wrong Minnesota you're talking about.
It was bad. There's no question about it. You know, I remember when earlier this year the Northern Illinois game, when you're looking at the scores come in, it's like, oh geez, I can't believe that's happening. And unfortunately, when the Minnesota score happens, I happen to be working. You take a look at it and you go, oh yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all.
You're at that point, yeah.
Yeah, and I think most people are, and that's unfortunate. You know, and I feel bad for those, you know, those guys who have gone to the Nebraska program knowing what the program was, you know, what it means to, you know, their older friends and families, and here they are, you know, they're getting a chance to play football, you know, at Nebraska and be a part of what was something really, really special, and I think that it is. But I feel bad for those guys. But a lot of them, and I hate to say this, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are guys who are there because, well, what I earned in high school, I deserve it in Nebraska. I deserve a nice locker. I deserve a comfy, cozy locker room. I deserve all of the many, because you know, I tore it up at, you know, Calabasas, or I tore it up in Texas or wherever it was. And, you know, part of those people who built the program, you know, they had to endure Schulte Fieldhouse, and they had to endure, you know, Walt Johnson and Bill Shepard and, you know, the metal lockers, you know, that were just, you couldn't wait to get to the big room. And now you're given these black shirts that are nicer than the game jerseys. You know, when Mike Corgan got it from Kep Hardings or Lawler's, whichever one it was, I mean, they were just mesh throwaways. And that's what Christian Peter and those guys were wearing, was just rags. But now, look at this. You deserve this fine linen. And I feel sorry for those guys who know what Nebraska football was and they're enduring this. But I think some of them are just saying, you know, I'm getting what I deserved. And it's really tough to see.
Bill,
and I'm not surprised by what I saw at Minnesota, to be honest with you.
You look at Nebraska and just kind of the effort that you're wondering about for this Saturday against Penn State in some crazy conditions. I want to switch gears and go to a topic that is something that's always tracked, and every year it's gotten more and more noisy with the coaching carousel. A thought here on where Chip Kelly ends up, and do you see him in Florida as a sign about Scott Frost?
Yeah, I think that's. I think Chip Kelly's name is in that mix. I think that it's in the mix because they really think that there is a real strong bond between Scott Frost and Nebraska, so they've got to throw the possibility at Chip Kelly, mm-hmm. or I don't think John Gruden's name is in that mix, but he's certainly in the mix with Tennessee. But I think that no matter what Vegas is, and when did Vegas get into handicapping where coaches are going to go? I know they bet on everything, but that to me is really ridiculous, that there is that possibility that Scott's going to go and come home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily believe that, but I think that's why you see names, you know, some big names with them, with that Florida job, because they can afford it.
You know, and the more, and I think timeline too, if you're Florida and you're Tennessee, you've already popped your coach. So you want, if you don't get the answer you want now, you'll move down the line. How about A&M? Do you think A&M makes a play for Chip Kelly, Scott Frost, a name?
That to me is a really tenuous situation.
Someone might win out and you keep him, right? I mean, it's $5 million a year for
right.
God knows how many years.
There's a lot of money on the line with that gig. I don't know what they do. I think they're really in a tough spot. And, you know, they've had a decent year. I really think Frost is the linchpin to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure he's coming home. I read Dirk Chamberlain's article in the World Herald, and there are a lot of reasons to want to stay there. Now, certainly a lot of people on the stands isn't one of them, but, you know, that's the biggest school in the country. They may be able to come up with the money, and why not be at a place where you can build and they'll be happy that you're there, and you probably won't have pressure on you for 10 years. You know, it could be the Florida State of, you know, the 70s that Bobby Bowden took over.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, 20 years later, he's still there, and, you know, they're winning. But there's no prestige to being in the American.
No.
And I don't think you're going to see a whole lot of now, Florida State wasn't in the big league back then either. I don't think you're going to see some dramatic changeover with conference realignment the next time. And, you know, the Big 12 has 10 teams. Why are you going to cut a slice of the pie to Central Florida or something? I don't know. But here's what I hope out of Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I probably don't think he's coming to Nebraska.
Okay.
But I would love for him to say, you know what? This isn't a ploy. This isn't me taking myself out of consideration for a job. I'm not going to get like Walt Harris when he didn't take the Nebraska job. Remember that?
Yep.
I'm taking myself out of consideration. I think it would be respectful for Scott to say, look, I love Nebraska. I had a great time at Nebraska. But I want to lead a different life. I want to do different things, and this is where I am right now. And I have a family. I have no state income tax. I can, you know, go. I can hit a driver from my campus and hit 25 blue chip recruits. I think there's something to be said for that. But I would love for him to come out and say, look, It's just not time for me to go back to Nebraska any longer.
Bill, I've got
to. I want to be fair to Nebraska in doing that. I'm not rejecting it because it's a bad job. This is just where I am right now. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be a wonderful gesture. Now, it may not happen that way, and that's fine. But I'd be surprised if Scott Frost is the head coach of Nebraska, to be honest with you.
Bill Dolman. Bill, I got 30 seconds here. How do you react to last night's loss for Nebraska basketball to St. John's? Pretty awful shooting.
It's one thing to lose to them, but it's another thing to not be able to hit the ocean from a boat.
Yeah.
And that has been a problem for years. And I love Tim, and I don't know who you're going to get better to represent and sell Nebraska basketball. But I don't understand how year after year after year after year, the shooting can be so bad, consistently bad. That one I don't understand. And so for that reason, losing to them, okay, I get it. Losing in that fashion is mind-boggling to me. So anyway.
Quick prediction, 10 seconds, Nebraska, Penn State.
Well, the Huskers, without a doubt.
You're
no,
it.
No question.
Give
Nebraska
me a score.
Wins it 142-141. Tight game.
1-point win and a sideline call that goes Nebraska's way. How about that?
Yeah.
Bill Dolman, NBC Sports, Pride of Fairbury. Billy D, thanks for kicking off the show with this, brother. Appreciate the extra time.
All right, don't forget speed skating tomorrow on the Olympic Channel.
When you need a break, speed skating is there for you. Billy D, be good, bud. Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, Steve Calhoun coming up.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some quarterbacks. Welcome in Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy at Armed Danger QBS on Twitter, where you can find him. Steve, how's it going, man? What's new?
Oh, it goes. Enjoying college football, as I do every Saturday, and it's slowly coming to an end, and that's like the depressing part of the year when football is no longer to see on TV every Saturday.
Now it's getting closer to the end of the season and conference championship time, and wanted to get caught up with you. And you've spent a lot of time working with Patrick O'Brien, and I don't know that Patrick will start against Penn State. I know he got most of the one reps for a good part of this week, but Tanner Lee, we're just waiting on clearance to play for Nebraska. So my question to you is, did you get a chance to watch Patrick at all against Minnesota, and what did you think of his ability to come in and kind of step up?
Well, I did get a chance to see the game. Really, I was excited for him. It's been a long time coming, and that's why, we've been training so hard for the last 10 years, and, for that opportunity for him to step up and play and try to, help lead the team.
What have you noticed with him, and what has he put the most effort into since getting to Nebraska to where he's at right now? Kind of tell me a little bit about the growth you've seen, not only on the field, but maybe from a personality standpoint.
Well, I just think him just preparing, really getting comfortable with the offense and what Coach Langsdorf and Coach Riley expect of him and then want him to do as far as the maturity part. Just talking to him, he's more comfortable with just being a student athlete at Nebraska, getting in, got a set of friends. But if I can just go back to the game last Saturday, it was exciting to see him play. But, I talked to him after the game that Sunday, and I wanted him to bring more energy, to the field. He finally had his opportunity to play, and I wanted him to bring that spark, because that's, they were down to 30-14, I think, and I just wanted him to be able to come in and just kind of rally guys, and I thought they would have played better. But, we talked a little bit about that, and that's going back to the maturity part of him, of talking to him and Tim over the last couple of years at Nebraska. He's definitely done a better job of doing that.
Steve Calhoun with us, Hail Varsity Radio, one of the top quarterback tutors in the country, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy at Armed Danger QBS on Twitter. What What were you expecting from him when he's thrown into that situation? Hey, Tanner's dinged. Get ready. that's what you work for. But
exactly.
There are better situations to go in. Like, I don't know, taking care of a lead versus trying to battle back down two scores.
You know, but if you prepare all week, understanding that you're just one play away from being the guy, I think if you go into the week with that mindset, I don't think it's a big hurdle to overcome. But I thought he did well. He looked prepared. He understood, you know, all the protections and everything. I just think, you know, the repetitions in the game kind of slowed his progress down of him having a lot of success. You know, he can threw some guys open and see it a little bit more and drop a little bit faster, you know, but that's just me being the you know, his quarterback coach for, you know, over all these years and being really critical. But I thought, you know, he stepped in and did a good job.
Yeah, I thought he looked extremely poised. You look at his completion percentage was nice, had some really sharp throws, and Coach Riley was impressed. With him coming in, was he nervous? Was he ready for the moment? I know you talked about bringing that spark, bringing that energy. Do you think that the next time he'll be more, is it more about being more demonstrative, or did you just kind of see from a body language standpoint when you were talking to him?
Yeah, I just think I wanted him to be more demonstrative as far as, you know, because there was such a lull in the game. I mean, you know, the head coach, you know, Coach Fleck from Minnesota brings a lot of energy, and his team was bringing a lot of energy. And I just think that somebody, especially from the quarterback position, should have tried to raise the level to where Minnesota was, and then that would have kind of gave Nebraska that spark to, like, okay, hey, we're rolling down a couple of touchdowns, let's just keep going. But I, you know, experience is everything. You know, if he has his opportunity this Saturday against Penn State, I think you'll see a different Patrick O'Brien.
Steve Calhoun's with us. A few more minutes. Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, with the situation this weekend, what do you expect from Patrick if he gets that nod? I don't know that that'll happen, but how do you think he'll use last week into this week?
You know, it's a big stage to play there at Penn State. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to be a wideout, but if not, it's going to be rocking. I think he's excited about playing this week against Penn State and being able to show, you know, all the fans of Nebraska, you know, why they recruited him and why, you know, he's going to I think he's going to help them, you know, be able to compete and possibly lead them to, you know, a victory this weekend. So I know he's excited about that, and he's happy to be playing on such a big stage.
The weather is supposed to be rainy and crummy and soggy and wet. Tell me about the work you do with quarterbacks in that situation. The rumor has it rains once in a while in California, but not as much as Happy Valley.
No, you know, I haven't had a chance to really prepare, you know, quarterbacks out here in California. Like you said, you know, it rained three times all of last year. So that's not something that we really get a chance to prepare as far as throwing a wet ball. But I'm sure Coach Langsdorf and Coach Riley, you know, they probably dumped a few footballs in some buckets and got those guys ready, you know, to throw some wet balls and take snaps and stuff like that. So I don't get a chance to do much of that, but I'm sure they, you know, the coaching staff has thought about, you know, every detail as far as, you know, helping them to prepare, you know, to play with a wet ball this weekend.
You know, Steve, what's your reaction to this year for Nebraska, this season? I mean, it's been very noisy from a potential to likely coaching change. You know how that can mess with players. You have guys away from home, not just Patrick, but a bunch of California kids that are a part of the first couple of recruiting classes. And stick with Patrick first and foremost with just the, have you guys talked about how the season's gone? And two, as a guy who gets kids ready for college, what's your reaction about Nebraska's performance this year?
Well, you know, I have talked to Patrick about it, and he's shocked that they're not having the success that they thought they were going to have. You know, the whole team has prepared really hard to have a great year, and, you know, just things have not worked out that way. I'm not you know, not sure if the chemistry is there or what have you. You know, I'm not there on a daily basis,
sure.
But you know, with all the noise going on outside about possible coaching changes, I think that's kind of brought the team closer together. And, you know, if you can just kind of block out the noise and understand everybody in this locker room is pulling for the same thing. It doesn't matter what anybody says outside this locker room. You know, let's just continue to have a goal to win one game at a time. You know, let's win one quarter at a time, one half at a time, and just kind of continue to move from there. But I can understand, with some of the 19, 20-year-old players there with so much noise going on outside, that could be a distraction.
Tell me a little bit about Patrick and his fit in not only the Riley offense, but offenses that may be more quarterback run friendly or run pass option. Remind me of what you worked with, and because you're not just a pro style guy, you also work with the mobility side of quarterbacks as well, correct?
Absolutely. You know, just going back, Patrick was actually a really good athlete. You know, I mean, he had, 750 yards rushing in high school, as well as, 3,000 yards passing or whatever his stats were. So, I mean, they did run that zone read scheme at San Juan Hills. So that offense won't be something new to him. And that, I think he can play whether it's pro style or, RPO type system where the quarterback does run a little bit in that zone read scheme. You know, he's prepared for any offense that that Coach Riley or Coach Langsdorf, throws at him. Mm-hmm. So I think, he'll be ready either way.
Last thought here, Steve, is we appreciate your time. Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy at Armed and Danger QBS on Twitter. Tell me a little bit about Easton Stick, man. Creighton Prep product. You've worked with him a lot. He's continuing that legacy up at North Dakota State. He's having a tremendous year.
Yes, he has. I mean, I get a chance to text with him every, week or so, and just, wish him luck and see how he's doing and stuff like that. And just we talk about times, when I first got a chance to meet him when I was out in Omaha, and I was really trying to get him to, for Nebraska to recruit him, but that didn't work out. But a situation like North Dakota State comes along, gives him an opportunity, and, man, he's really playing well. And like you said, just keeping that tradition of great quarterbacks, from Brock Jensen to Carson Wentz, and now Easton Stick. So I'm really happy for him, and, I'm sure he's going to continue to do good things this year.
Do you ever have a chance to work with Wentz?
I have not. No, sir.
He is doing some special things for Philly. You're making a special trip this weekend. Before we say goodbye, where are you headed to?
I am headed to see my son play. He's a defensive back for University of Texas at El Paso. We have Louisiana Tech this weekend. So it's been a tough year for the Utah Miners, but hopefully we can turn it around this week.
Steve Calhoun with us. Steve, we'll catch up, man. You and your family have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Not a problem. Appreciate you having me on.
Good stuff from Steve Calhoun. He was headed to from LAX to UTEP to check his son out. And good thoughts on Patrick O'Brien and what he told him after the game. Mike Riley, about 15 minutes ago, made the announcement to a couple media and Channel 8, I think, with this, that Mike Riley telling media that Tanner Lee going to start. So that is now official. The Tanner Lee, Patrick O'Brien discussion is moot. Sort of. Yeah, I think so. And listen, it's probably best to have Tanner go. He's been your guy all year long. And if he's ineffective, you know, Patrick's prepped and tried to simulate that number one spot. We'll spend a little bit more time on contingency options with coaching, not just for Nebraska, but for Florida, for A&M. As Hail Varsity, great to be with you on a Friday. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, and you. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity, 20 minutes away. Friday forecast at 525 with Klausburn. Mike Riley a few minutes ago declaring that Tanner Lee will be your starting quarterback tomorrow as Nebraska gets ready for Penn State. Can chime in, can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Let's talk contingency here. Bill Dolman kicked off the show with us, NBC Sports, Pride of Fairbury, longtime member with Nebraska football and their coverage, covered the team, the host of the Tom Osborne Show during the 97 championship. And I wanted to ask you here, Danny, is if Bill's thoughts about not being sure Frost comes back, it's been on the people's minds all week, and I'm kind of leaning like he'll come back to Nebraska. Bill says, not so sure. And Bill's been pretty consistent with that the last month, that he just doesn't know if Scott would come back. And I trust Bill's judgment on, not saying that it won't happen, but it would be, it's not a slam dunk. What's the contingency here? And we've done a lot about coaching searches and thoughts, but listen, man, you're a Nebraska fan. You're a guy who's studying to be a broadcaster. You are a broadcaster. And so you look at this, man. I want your perspective here. What's your short list? We'll get Greg's short list here coming up. And to me, it comes to, you can't get the no from Frost. It's Frost or, oh, God. Not that there's not other okay choices out there. Mm-hmm. There is. But I think he's your absolute best fit and hope for things to change.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in saying that. I mean, you can't get the no. Him, you know, playing here, him being a legend here, you need him to get here if you're a Nebraska fan. I think there's a big difference from my perspective in a way compared to a lot of people growing up in Nebraska. It's pretty much a do or die with Frost for them. Whereas with me,
Is it with you?
I mean, no, personally, it's not. I would love to have him here, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, I would understand if he doesn't come here, though. Kind of like what Bill was saying, you know, he's got a good niche in Florida. He's got a great recruiting basis down there, and he just had his baby down there. He's got his family established. I can see how he would stay here, but also, you know, it's not going to surprise me either way, really, but I would love for him to come here, but it wouldn't shock me if he didn't.
Okay, so your short list is who? Who's wowed you around the country? And let's take the obvious guys off the table, i.e. the Nick Sabans. Who else is out there, though, that's just incredible? I mean, Jimbo Fisher's having a bad year.
Right.
Les Miles is eating grass on vacation. I'm a Pirate fan, you know that. I like Leach, and Leach is a good dude, but his performance has been really good at Washington State. I think Chris Peterson's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Urban Meyer speaks for himself. Those guys probably aren't going anywhere. They're entrenched, or it's too good a situation where they're at already. So now what? What's the contingency if Frost says no? Is it how much Chip? I don't know that you get Chip Kelly here. I think that's a great idea and want to go after Chip Kelly as another option. I think Bob Stoops would be incredible to land. That'd be a splash. And if you don't get Frost, you got to get a guy who's played for or won a championship beyond conference. I'm talking been to BCS games, been to championship games. Can you make that happen if you're the Moose? And the answer is it's got to be a yes, just like the unthinkable Frost turning you down, getting a no. So, you know, where do you go after that? I think there's good choices, man, but I think it absolutely zaps the fan base, and it zaps the fan base after a likely 4-8 season on top of that.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned the other day, too, you wouldn't mind Brett Bielema coming here, right?
No. Dial that back.
Dial that back now?
No. I am an anti-Bielema.
Oh, okay.
From coming here. I think I mentioned that, yeah, would it work? There, I think there's 1,000 better choices than Brett Bielema.
Yeah, definitely.
So, no, I he misheard me.
Okay.
Or I gave you a wrong shot or something. No.
Yeah.
We can go back and find the tape. Listen, No. Okay. I don't want Bielema here.
Yeah, I was just throwing his name out there. I definitely don't think
he's
great.
Awful. I just think there's better choices.
Yeah, I agree.
I think his success is really tied to Barry Alvarez, to be frank.
Mm-hmm.
You have some success as a coordinator from Bielema. He knows the Big Ten, probably gets the walk-on phase of things. Those are all good things.
Mm-hmm.
But when push comes to shove, he needs kind of someone making sure he's doing it that Wisconsin / Nebraska way. He needs someone with the personality mm-hmm. of a Barry Alvarez over him to kind of keep him on the straight and narrow. And I think evidence of that is how just brutal it became at Arkansas. Are they great? No, but it's not. We're talking 10 years ago, 11 years ago, they were in the Sugar Bowl with Petrino, okay? So you can win at Arkansas, or at least Petrino was able to win very quickly at Arkansas. And it's not worked that way for Coach B. So, no, I don't think he's the answer here. I think you go throw money at somebody else. I mean, I like Matt Campbell. I love Matt Campbell, what he's done at Iowa State, what he's done in the MAC. And I think getting him here would be a nice, too. This sucks to talk about because there's a game tomorrow. It's Penn State. It's Nebraska. It's Penn State. So it's a big game. It's supposed to have been a big game. And at least you know now Tanner Lee's your quarterback, and you know that Patrick O'Brien really didn't freak out when inserted in a tough situation. Penn State's a whole hell of a lot different animal than Minnesota. I know that, but at least you have a better feel at quarterback with Nebraska tomorrow. What's Saquon Barkley go for? Have you made your mind up? Does the Penn State rushing struggles continue against this Nebraska defense? I think Penn State has a banner day and a big day for Barkley just because of how poor, how just really, really rough the offense, or I should say the Nebraska defensive line has been in stopping the run. I think it's going to be a headache. It's going to be a nightmare. I think you're going to have a lot of big plays ripped off. The good news is you're going to have Aaron Williams back at safety. I think that'll make a difference.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think there's going to be some huge plays, a lot of big runs from Barkley. I at least envision him having minimum 2 touchdowns.
Will he go 2 Bills against Nebraska?
It would not surprise me. I will definitely imagine him going 2 Bills.
All right.
I could see that.
So, tattoo it, that bicep to yours, no on Coach B.
Now we got that straight. No, yeah, I would love to see Campbell here, though, too, like you mentioned, although I don't know if he's going to want to be leaving Iowa State now. They're looking pretty good.
They are. You never thought you'd say that. You know, right. You're not sure a guy wants to leave Iowa State for Nebraska. We'll see. A lot to play out. We'll see where Nebraska goes tomorrow with effort and integrity. I think there's plenty of integrity on that coaching staff with the head coach. What type of effort and what type of showing can you provide? And I think it's going to be just rainy and sloppy. It'd be cool to mix in a little snow. We'll take some calls here coming up. Can tap the line, Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776. 466-3776. Get your mic, Danny. 800-825-5865.
You're absolutely right. Can I put you on hold really quick?
So Danny's going to put somebody on hold. Quick timeout. Hail Varsity continues. We'll wind down hour one. Greg Smith's on the way.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time in this first hour. Greg Smith, HailVarsity.com and Magazine coming up. We will get run down with Klausburn, the Friday forecast. Let's remind you about drinking and driving. Please do not do it. And if you're drinking and driving, that could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees and jail time and be required to install that interlock device on your vehicle. If you're making plans, find that sober, ride home. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Some thoughts on Riley other than the fact that Tanner Lee will start tomorrow against Penn State. That announcement about 15 to 20 minutes ago. Here's another little twist that's going to happen, and that's David Neville at right guard. And Well, here's what Coach said about it. I'll give you my thoughts in a second.
Right now, it looks like David Neville's going to start at right guard. David is smart. He's healthy now. He gives us a pretty impressive physical figure in there. It reminds me a hair of a couple years ago when we put Zach Surrip inside. David, you know, his deal has not been about playing ability. It's been about being healthy. And now when he's back and he looks like he's moving pretty well, then you start looking at the best five to play. And with all this, you know, I don't have anything to say, but it's been good about the development of the line for the future. You know, there's been quite a few guys get a lot of different repetitions in there. And I'm thinking of Matt Farniok when I'm saying that.
Okay, so you've had Farniok. The kids played with, one hand for a lot of the year when Farmer went down. And I know Neville early in the year showed some mobility. I'm thinking the first game of the year, and against Oregon, they were able to get out in some space and do some things. All of a sudden, Neville has not only shot to be your top five on the offensive line, but you're going to move him now inside to a guard spot where he's never played. And you know what? They're coaches. They've got decades of experience. If it works out and there's some positive assistance with the center spot by your right guard with Neville, fine. I mean, you know what? In the name of more rushing yards and cracking the century mark, fine. But is Neville going to be a better option for you at right guard? At this point, I don't know. It feels like you're reaching, throwing him at guard. You know, if you're looking for your five best, have you really evaluated the five that have been starting on the field? Are you going with what's comfortable? Is a 75% Nick Gates? I'm not saying he's injured, but I'm just saying there's been some video evidence of poor play. Why not throw Neville at left tackle to get more out of that? Or at least consider that. But they're going with him at guard. And you know what? Gates could have a good game tomorrow. That line could have a better game tomorrow. Better protection. The other side of it too, though, I mean, there's some on a other side of the coin point. You have Hymus and you have Neville on that right side with a little Bo Wilson action. Maybe you just do some battering ram. I don't know. We'll get into hour two. Greg Smith of Hail Varsity coming up.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with Greg Smith of HailVarsity.com and magazine at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. Greg, how are you, sir?
I'm excellent, man. How are you?
I'm good. Not a overly exciting weekend of college football. That said, you know what, Nebraska, Penn State, when you see those names hook up, you kind of smile about it. Different seasons, anyway. And you got Michigan and Wisconsin that are going. But I want to get into the topic du jour, and it's been that way for a long time, and that's the coaching situation in Nebraska. I want to start there before we get into some recruiting with you and talk some Husker hoops as well. But if Greg Smith was asked who he wants as head coach at Nebraska when an opening occurs, I need a Greg's guys, okay? I need the long or the short list. I don't know if it's a list like Santa gets here in a month, but do you have some guys in mind that you think would be good fits?
Yeah, I do. And it's interesting. I like that you said good fits there at the end, because that always throws me off a little bit. And that's why I have a little bit different perspective. And people say this all the time to me, because I'm not from here. So I'm always looking for, like, just basically the best coach. Like, ties to the program and all of that are usually way down on my list. So is kind of like that guy's personality and if it meshes in the state, because I think that if a guy wins and is not just going out of his way to be, you know, bad towards the fan base, then, you know, you should be able to suck it up and accept those victories, right? So my guy, or one of the guys that I've always liked for this job, you know, wink, wink, should it come open, Chip Kelly has always been at the top of my list. It's a guy that's a proven winner. He runs an exciting, he plays an exciting brand of football, known as one of the best offensive innovators to ever be in college football. Gus Malzahn, same way, another guy that I've always liked. That situation down at Auburn just always seems like he's on a teeter-totter, whether or not he's actually on the hot seat or whether or not the fans actually like him. It seems like you're one bad loss away from them wanting to run you out of town. Kevin Sumlin is a guy that I've always kind of liked, but I feel like he'd be a guy that would not necessarily be embraced here, mostly because he doesn't play defense. Like, he does not have a track record of playing defense down at A&M. And I'll go ahead and mention the guy that everybody wants me to say. Scott Frost is definitely a guy that I would for sure be interested in talking to about this job. He has all the same qualifications essentially as Chip Kelly, but you would probably have him for a longer amount of time, and you could hit that holy grail of having a coach for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years.
You know, the longevity is what you want to get back to, and when it comes to program ties and understanding, and a friend of yours, Paul Meyerberg, USA Today, great story on Scott Frost in yesterday's USA Today digital section. Listen, you look at the meshing here, and I'm going to go mesh point because it's, you know, the Oregon offense. But with Kelly and Osborne, practice style, development, making kids tough, and then just being innovative and running an offense that everyone else in the world of college football is trying to duplicate in some form or fashion. Man, when you put that into a bowl and you have those ingredients with an offense, I mean, that's why Frost is, it's just so convincing to me that you have to go get him and not take no for an answer. And again, this is with all due respect to Coach Riley and his staff. I mean, they're still guys and families here. They're trying to win, you know, tomorrow against Penn State. But to me, Frost, because he gets the program and how it was done, the way it was done to develop and be good, and your third team's as strong as your first team from a competency level standpoint, knowing what to do, I think that's so, so key. I want to go to Kelly for a second. And am I off here with people in line to pay him? A&M, UCLA, Florida, Nebraska, Chip Kelly?
No, you're definitely not wrong on that one. The curious thing, though, about the whole Chip Kelly situation, though, is how much money is he looking to make? You know, the contracts that he's had in the NFL were very large, particularly that San Francisco one that he got there. But I think his offset language, because he's still getting paid from those jobs, his offset language, from what I read, is only to do if he goes to get another NFL job. Mm-hmm. So I believe if he gets another college job, there's no offset language. He gets all of that money anyway. So is it, so, and I don't think that money doesn't seem like it's going to be the motivator for him. It would be more of a, for him, the fit in not having to work as hard in recruiting. It sounds bad to say, but I think that he wants to be in a spot in which the program kind of recruits itself. So I think that definitely takes Nebraska out of the running. But the other schools that you mentioned, Texas A&M, UCLA, Florida in particular, like, I think those schools would be ones that he'd be really attracted to. The thing with Florida, though, that I'm curious about, and I think we've talked about this on the show before, is that you always hear stories and reports of their facilities not being up to snuff, and now you hear things about Jim McElwain not necessarily was happy about that and wanted them to push some of that forward. Curious to see, and I think the answer is yes here, because Chip has a different level of cachet, right? If he could get them to kind of push some of that stuff ahead.
Well, and let's throw the Spurrier factor in here that's been circulating around this week too, with Spurrier being a Frost guy, that's the feel and word we've heard, versus a Chip guy. And if you ask McElwain over a cocktail, I don't know how big a cheerleader Spurrier was for McElwain.
Yeah, I would definitely not assume that he was a big cheerleader. And I also worried, though, about if Spurrier being a Frost guy is him misreading the situation, thinking that Frost is younger, so he'll be able to, you know, lean on him a little bit more and get more of what he wants out of the situation versus Chip Kelly, who's an established guy who will basically walk in and tell everyone what's what, and the program will be his from day one. Maybe he thinks that Frost would be a little bit more controllable because he's younger. Don't think he's necessarily reading that situation correctly, but I kind of think that that's how he's thinking on that one.
You think A&M is in the Frost sweepstakes?
I do not. I think that A&M, kind of like Tennessee, and I think UCLA would probably be in the same situation too, but A&M specifically, I think that they're looking for a big name that is a big-time established coach, already maybe won a national championship. I think that that's the kind of pool that A&M believes that they should be swimming in. Don't know if that's necessarily the reality of the situation, but no, I don't think that Frost would be a real viable candidate for A&M.
Greg Smith with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, talking coaching carousel, the Nebraska job. Greg, let's talk recruiting, because there's a number of kids on the 18 board that are very talented. Not anyone since we last talked has defected or opened their commitment publicly anyway. And then you have a really young team now, a lot of freshmen, redshirt freshmen. You have talent on this Nebraska team, both sides of the ball, if there is a change. So the next guy coming in has a lot to work with. How's the feel for recruiting going this week for Nebraska? What have you heard or seen?
Yeah, I think that really the feel and the buzz out there is just kind of holding pattern, right? And I think that the longer that this has happened where, you know, you had the one defection, and it was a big one. There's no minimizing that. We know that. But besides Bucky Riley Hiles, you haven't had another person publicly open up their commitment. And honestly, I say probably but privately, I haven't heard that either, to be totally honest. So the longer you go with that, the better chance a new coach has to be able to basically re-recruit that kid and keep them in the class. Now, the interesting thing on the flip side of that, though, is that you have to remember that there is a little bit of vetting from both sides in this situation. So there is the fact that these kids will have to be re-recruited by the coaches, but the new coaches will have to want to keep those kids in the class, because as we saw when Mike Riley came in, there were a couple of both signees that he did not, you know, he basically said, you know, thanks but no thanks. You should open up your commitment and look elsewhere. Don't know if you necessarily will have any of that, though, with this class. It's a smaller class, for sure, than the one that Mike Riley was inheriting. But I think that you could use a lot of these kids that are in this class in versatile ways, outside of the kicker, who obviously shouldn't really go anywhere because it's hard to get a scholarship as a kicker.
This is a very difficult question, but you have done an amazing job of covering recruiting and getting to know the kids that are part of this 18 class, and also kids considering Nebraska. Say a change is made, and say it is Scott Frost that takes over. Is there some intrigue with the style of offense that Frost runs? And I'll stay on the offensive side of the ball, because there are some skill guys here that make Nebraska fans drool, specifically guys that can catch the football and turn a 5-yard gain into a 50-yard gain. What would it be completely damning with the loss of Riley and some of these assistants, or would it be a deal breaker, or would Nebraska stay at least in the conversation because of the excitement level and the potency of this Frost offense?
I think what you said there at the end, exactly right. I think the kids would be excited. When you talk about the pass catchers, you're talking Joshua Moore, 4-star recruit. You're talking Cameron Brown, another 4-star recruit at wide receiver. I think they'd be excited. Cameron Juergens would be another guy that I think should be extremely excited about the potential of possibly playing in that type of an offense as an H-back tight end role with that system. I think would be great at that. But no, I think those guys would definitely be excited. The only thing that I would caution as is that those kids have been recruited to Nebraska basically with the line of, we play a pro-style offense and we'll help you get to the NFL. So there'll be a little bit of a disconnect there in trying to make sure that you can convey the message that, hey, you can still go to the NFL coming from this offense. It happened all the time. Look at the dudes that are working that we put into the NFL. There'll be guys currently on UCF, if that's the case, that will end up being, you know, potential NFL players. So that's the real hurdle that you'll have to get over. But they should be extremely excited to play in a wide-open offense. in which you're going to touch the ball in a variety of ways.
Well, and if there is a new man from Central Florida at Nebraska, he went to the NFL as a safety playing quarterback here. So
right. He's the ultimate guy to tell you about how you can get there multiple ways.
Absolutely. Greg, couple more minutes here. Nebraska basketball, I am not going to freak and overreact. That said, it was just tough to watch Nebraska not hit any shots, 29-28%, whatever it was, from the floor. Kind of a dunk fest towards the end of the game. Offensive rebounds were plenty for Rutgers. I said Rutgers, forgive me, St. John's. But Northeast.
That'd be even worse.
Yeah, right? So where are you at with Nebraska basketball? Are you freaking, or are you letting it simmer a bit?
I want to let it simmer a bit. I really do, but it makes me extremely nervous that still to this point with Coach Miles, we don't know what he wants to be on offense. Like, that really concerns me. And then I get it. You've got a different level of talent on this year's team. You're incorporating a lot of new pieces, and all of that is valid. But I still don't see exactly what the offensive plan is, right? Until we see some sort of semblance of consistency there, I think that you'll always have questions about how far this team can actually go. And that rebounding number was extremely concerning. I think it was 50 rebounds for St. John's. You can't play a game like that in which you give up 50 rebounds. They're going to have to get that cleaned up before the Big Ten comes calling.
Well, I mean, and their tallest dude's 6'7".
Right.
I mean, so it was guards and lengthy wing dudes, but do you think there's a they'll be able to kind of flush this and move forward? Do you think there's going to be any panic this soon, or do you think it can be corrected as you move forward? I mean, the schedule's not great going into December. I mean, it's going to be exciting, but I mean, it's Creighton, it's Kansas, it's Michigan State, it's Minnesota. Four big dogs you need to do something against when it comes to your resume and your RPI. North Dakota comes rolling in Sunday. They're a pretty good squad from the Summit. I was just surprised at this offense's inability to be effective. And you saw not last night, but the previous game, they at least got to the rim, right? If the shots weren't falling, they got to the rim, they got to the line. That didn't happen last night at all.
Yeah, and I think that the interesting thing here is keep an eye on their next game or two. If they come out strong in those games and can get some momentum going, because what you don't want to have for this team is to be a couple of more games in and say you're five games into the season, and basically the basketball fans are thinking, oh, no, here we go again. It's just another typical season, right? Because I think that will bring the energy level down before you even get to league play, and fans just won't be as into it because they're still cautious, very cautious, on whether or not this team could turn the corner, because they haven't seen it. So it'll be curious to see how the players feed off of that, or if they can get some momentum going.
Last thought, and I never thought I'd do this, but we're saving the most potentially embarrassing for last, and that's Penn State Nebraska football. And listen, what do you think happens tomorrow? Do you think Nebraska scraps, or is it just let's get through the season? I don't know where the team's at defensively, if they're going to play hard for Diaco, just because maybe they're tuning him out. I think offensively, they're going to try and continue to do some things. I'm interested to see what Neville looks like at guard from his athleticism standpoint, if they get out and use some of his mobility. Do you think Nebraska hangs around at all? Is it more about Penn State letting them hang around? I know the weather could be an issue.
Yeah, I don't think Nebraska necessarily hangs around on this one. And you know, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, if they've tuned out Bob Diaco, did they ever tune him in? Like, and I don't mean that in a bad, like, I just mean as could they ever really latch on to what he was trying to teach them in the short amount of time and just in his teaching style? Like, I have a lot of questions about that. But I don't think that even if Nebraska comes out with a much better effort than what they had against Minnesota, this isn't Minnesota's talent, right? This is a much, much better team, a lot closer to that Ohio State team that, you know, everybody felt like it was going to be a loss going into, clearly the Minnesota level of talent that you just got taken to the woodshed by last week. I think this one is pretty bad. I think in our forecast, I picked 52-13 Penn State taking this one.
Greg, awesome to catch up. We'll do this again, bud. Thanks a ton.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff, Greg Smith, Hail Varsity. We wind down the old coaching discussion. Coming up, Klausburn, the forecast. It's next with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for the Friday forecast. Welcome in Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogues, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Appreciate you jumping on. Klausburn, alive and well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. Was really excited about basketball season, and then I turned on the TV for about 5 minutes last night, and I'm really ready for baseball, boys.
It was tough to watch Nebraska hoops last night. Friday forecast presented to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, please call the statewide helpline at 1-800-522-4700. Well, not a ton of great games this weekend. One major showdown in the Big Ten. Of course, Nebraska and Penn State clash. Let's start off, though, fellas in the SEC. Boss Hogg, huh? Brett Bielema in Arkansas lost his AD this week. Mississippi State comes in, really doing a fabulous job at challenging Bama last week. Dan Mullen and company, -12.5. Bogues, kick us off here.
Yeah, it could be a little bit of a letdown spot for the Bulldogs, given that they almost knocked off Bama last week. But the writing seems to be on the wall with Burt and in Arkansas. I think Bulldogs just have too much. They'll win 42-20.
So you're going with the Burt nickname as well?
No, yeah, why not?
Okay, so Vogue says too much Bulldog action. You know, I think this is going to be that classic tight ball game, not because Arkansas is playing well or even maybe playing for their coach, but more so about Mississippi State. Agree with you on the letdown. I think this thing is tight, and Arkansas hangs around just because of that hangover from Alabama. Mississippi State wins, but Arkansas, I think, covers this one. Give me 38-28, Mississippi State, the win, but not the cover. Klausburn, what do you like here, the Hogs or the Bulldogs?
Well, you know, last week I facetiously talked up Dan Mullen a lot and said he ought to send that audio to the folks at the Florida Athletic Department. And I was only half joking. I think Dan Mullen's a great coach. He probably needs to work on letting his quarterback know that a field is only so long and you can't throw it 15 rows into the end zone to try to win. But I think he's a good coach, a good fella, a good guy. On the other hand, Burt looks like the type of guy who would get the contract to replace your basement, knock out a wall, and flee to Mexico. So, that said, I agree with Chris on this one. I think Mississippi State kind of plays down their competition sometimes, but I think they win 31-24.
Tight ball game. Minnesota is at Northwestern. The Cats and Fitz are in the college football playoff ranking. They have done a miraculous job of turning it around. It kind of kicked off with their road win against Maryland. They were right in it with Wisconsin. You know how they found a way against Nebraska, and then they beat Sparty as well as Iowa, part of overtimes. Minnesota comes in. They're not the biggest. They're not the fastest. They're not the strongest. At least they weren't until last Saturday with what they did to Nebraska. You know what? I think this one's going to be close. I think Minnesota's feeling pretty good. Pretty good momentum spring for them to try and get that sixth win and be bowl eligible. Northwestern might be patting themselves on the back a bit, and I think this one's close. Give me the Wildcats to win but not cover. 27-20. Northwestern wins as they keep marching towards a 10th win. Vogues, what do you see happening here in Evanston?
Yeah, I'm about the exact same spot. Gophers, utter ground destruction of Nebraska last week. Might have shook something loose a little bit, and then looking at a scenario where they could have a relatively strong finish after a tough middle stretch there in Fleck's first year. So I've got about the same score. Northwestern is going to win, but not by enough. Take the Wildcats 25-19.
Let's head on down to Central Florida. Scott Frost in Central Florida, minus 14 at Temple, a different Temple team this year. They're trying to get that sixth win. There's been a lot of talk in Orlando. Well, distractions, kind of the theme of the week. First, the weather going up to Philly. Can you handle the cold? Well, it's football weather, says Scott Frost. Other distractions, the new Call of Duty is out. That could be distracting. Star Wars is less than a month away now. So that was Scott Frost's response to how you handle distractions this week. I think Central Florida handles distractions, but it's going to be closer. They may peek ahead to South Florida as that game is next weekend. Give me Central Florida, the win 38-27, the win, but not the cover, as Central Florida stays unbeaten. I don't know a lot about Temple. I just know going up north this time of year for a South school isn't always ideal. Vogues?
Yeah, Temple's gotten better here recently over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Pretty solid program, sort of remarkably so. I'm excited for Scott Frost to coach in the stadium that the Terp once did, and Chip Kelly. And I think they know that to set up the winner-take-all meeting against South Florida next Friday, they've got to get this one done. Just too many ways to score for the Knights. They'll win here, 38-17.
Okay, win and cover, says Vogues. Klausbrunn, what do you think here? Central Florida in any danger on Saturday?
Well, I'll tell you, like most Nebraska fans, I don't know a whole lot about Central Florida or their coaching situation or anything like that. I certainly haven't been watching every Central Florida game I can, like a 13-year-old girl watches a One Direction concert. But from what I understand, they're fairly good, and their coach is relatively decent, so I think he'll have them prepared, and I'll predict Central Florida wins this one by a score of 31-17.
All right, the game day is at Wisconsin, minus 7.5. They host Michigan. Harbaugh has a chance to kind of rewrite this year, as they have a chance to knock off Wisconsin, and then Ohio State looms next weekend. You know, I think it comes down to quarterback play. Both quarterbacks have put the opposing defenses in great spots with turnovers and short fields. I just think the Wisconsin defense is playing at such a level right now, it'll be able to create and take advantage of Michigan quarterback mistakes. Michigan's defense has been tremendous this year, and Michigan's had to lean on the run game a lot. I don't think that's a great idea for anybody to try and do against Wisconsin. Give me Wisconsin the win, but Michigan the cover, 24-21, a tight one in Camp Randall. But Bucky stays unbeaten and keeps that hope alive for the Big Ten. Vogues?
Yeah, this one doesn't set up to be a ton of fun. These two teams will lean on each other for a good 2.5 quarters, I'm guessing, and then Wisconsin will do what it does, pull away, relatively speaking, in a high-scoring game, I guess, for the Big Ten in November. I'll take the Badgers to win and cover, 24-14.
24-14, says Vogues. Klausbrunn, what are you thinking here? Harbaugh got a little magic up his sleeve, or does that Chris defense make it so and stay unbeaten here for Wisconsin?
Well, I tell you what, you know, Michigan hasn't had the type of year I think that they all expected, or certainly they wanted, but it hadn't been a bad year. And so that's interesting to me, because as soon as things go a little wrong in Ann Arbor, people start really making fun of Jim Harbaugh and all his idiosyncrasies and so on, and maybe he's not the right guy for us, and on and on. And I'll tell you what, Jim Harbaugh may buy his khakis at Walmart, but Wisconsin fans buy theirs at Madison Tent and Awning Supply. So I'll take Michigan in the upset here.
Wow.
By a score of 24-17.
Klausbrunn calling for Michigan and the upset.
I'm so far behind in the standings here, I got to do something to differentiate. So
that's all right. You're fine. Little bonus ball before we get to Nebraska, Penn State, Illinois at Ohio State. Ohio State's going to win this thing. I'm not worried about that. But 41, as young and as dysfunctional as the Illini have been this year, 41 for an interconference game is incredibly high. So that's what I'm asking here. Does Ohio State cover the 41? I think they do. I think Urban's got the guys playing well. They still have an outside shot to make some noise, depending on what other chaos happens with conference championship games and Thanksgiving weekend upsets. So give me Ohio State. I think they drop 65 tomorrow. 65-10 over the Illini. Is 41 too much to take here, Vogues?
No, I'm just glad we finally got to the marquee game of the week.
I didn't know what else to pick. The rest of them suck, so I said let's go one more. Let's find the worst spread out there and see what we feel.
Yeah, given that Illinois is basically putting a prep school team out there, I think Ohio State covers this in the first half, 43-0, and then each team adds a touchdown as they just try to get the heck out of there in the second half. 50-7, final, Buckeyes.
Okay, Claus, do you like the 41? Are you giving or are you taking?
Well, I like chaos, as you know, and so I'm going to root for the final score to be 55-14 on a botched extra point, and we get a push.
There we go. The perfect ending here. Let's head to Happy Valley, Nebraska at Penn State. I think the lines climbed up to near 27 for our entertainment purposes only. Number will stay with 26.5. That's what I sent you guys. Nebraska at Penn State. Sounds like Tanner Lee might be a more viable option to go for Nebraska. I think Nebraska is embarrassed about how they played against Minnesota. I don't know what the morale is like, if it'll be any better defensively against Barkley and McSorley. I think Nebraska plays a little bit better offensively, but give me Penn State 45-21 over Nebraska. Vogues?
Yeah, I'd say it's hard to find legitimate reasons to pick Nebraska to stick close, much less win here. Penn State's offensive line is probably its weakest point, but they have so many weapons offensively that they've found ways to work around it. Barring something totally unforeseen, I think this one plays out as we all expect it to. I'll go Penn State 48-14.
48-14. Klausburn, what happens here? Nebraska, Penn State, what's the final score?
Well, I've made a lot of jokes at Penn State's expense over the past several years, but I think at this point, none of those jokes would be able to top the Nebraska run defense. So, but I've seen a lot of television, a lot of movies in which a guy will hit his head and suddenly become a superhero. So I think Tanner Lee goes off tomorrow, and Nebraska wins by a score of 56-49 because no one wants to stop anybody.
Klausburn calling for the upset, 56-49. Okay.
These brownies, Carl Big, sure are good.
There you have it. Friday Forecast brought to you by the Gamblers Assistance Program. Vogues, be good.
Will do.
Klausburn, you take care.
Okay.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. And you will get into what are those names when it comes to coaching openings. Man, you just hear and it's picked up a little smoke and now it's dialed back and it's pumped a little brakes. Take a guess who I'm talking about. We can maybe sing Rocky Top together.
Spider 2 wide banana. The line slides to the left. Watch the young back cut down the defensive end, but there's a beautiful banana.
Thank you, Chucky. Did you ever buy this, believe this? What was your reaction? Was it what? Or was it, maybe? When it comes to John Gruden and Tennessee football. Tennessee was right behind their nemesis, Florida, and making a coaching change. CBS Sports reporting now, after you've had 24 hours to 48 hours of well, John Gruden's feeling out who wants to be his assistant at Tennessee. There is major concerns. A voice of clarity. Major concerns about Gruden. Can we start? Hadn't coached in 9 years. Hasn't been in college football in 26 years. And where have we heard this before? The guy's a 500 coach. He's 57 and 55 in 7 years with Tampa. And you can ask some dudes on that roster that that roster is pretty good because Tony Dungy made it really good. Tampa was there, and then they never got over the top until Gruden got there because they sent Tony packing to Indy for a championship. Listen, is John Gruden a good coach? Yeah. Does he have a good coaching tree? Phenomenal. Is he a guy that can step in at 53 years of age, relate with 18 to 22-year-olds, put up with their crap, and vice versa, them put up with his crap, this 4 a.m. to 2 a.m. work schedule he keeps? Come on. You're kidding yourself. Can he get you ready? Is he a pretty dynamic personality? Does he know the NFL? Does he have a Super Bowl? Yeah, he has a lot of that. How many kids right now, 18 to 22, are watching Monday Night Football? Remember Tampa. We talk about Nebraska's problem with relevancy and recency. There's a whole lot of relevancy and recency issues going on with John Gruden, aside from his Fired Football Coaches Association sit down with the top 5 to 7 quarterbacks coming into the NFL draft. Listen, he's really good at broadcasting. He's tremendous on Monday night. He's really good with the NFL draft. And if he wants to get back into coaching because he misses it, just hang tight for the NFL. Why has nobody in the NFL hired a Super Bowl championship coach in 9 years? A, probably said no. There's probably been some friends. I mean, I would, if I'm Cleveland, I've probably tried to call him. But if I'm Tampa Bay, I go back to what worked once before, because it ain't working with Dirk Cutter. But just, we're pumping the brakes finally on John Gruden to Rocky Top. His history in college football is like this. He was a GA at Tennessee, 86 to 87. Now, that was post-Reggie White era, pre-Heath Shuler era. So I don't know where the hell Tennessee was at, 86 to 87. Then he was at Southwest Missouri State in 88. Then at Pacific when they had a football program in 89. And then he was at Pitt in 91. But then it's been NFL. But just say it with me. Pump the brakes on Gruden to college. Could that, I mean, to me, doesn't it just seem like a 2.0 version of Bill Callahan to college? Probably can recruit, probably can identify, can get some NFL players in here. But when it comes to relating and understanding that it ain't cool to go 7-5. It's okay to go 7-5 in the NFL. It's not cool to go 7-5 in college, ever. John's been trying to get through. John's been very patient. Let's catch up with John here on Hail Varsity Radio. John, thanks for listening, man. Go ahead.
Hi. I had to go up to Omaha on business today, and I won't mention a plug another competition, but I did know there was a sports talk show on Fridays on another channel here in Lincoln from 6 till 8. And I was listening to the two commentators, and they made something that you could have knocked me over with a feather. They said they were surprised that, and maybe they're going to do an investigation for fraudulent use of money for Peterson and when Callahan was there. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was right there on the radio, and I wondered if anybody had heard anything about that. And then I had three other business appointments, and I called into Gregus, and I was talking to him. When I got off the phone, this lady in her 80s, just adamant about Nebraska football. I mean, I just can't believe, you know, what a big super deal this is. And I also heard, and I told Gregus, that somebody told me that they spotted a Learjet airplane in South Florida earlier this week. I wondered if you guys have heard anything about that.
John, take care. Thanks for calling. You know, I really do give him a chance to call in, and sometimes he's money and complimentary, and then there's that. I mean, where are we going? We just gossip hour, and it was my bad for letting him on. But there's lots of Learjets in South Florida. That's what people who own Learjets do. They go to Florida. I don't know where the hell to start with this. I really don't have any clue with what type of investigation. What's he talking about? Any clue? No? You can talk.
No, yeah, I haven't heard anything of it anywhere
else.
So.
I don't care. I really don't freaking care. I don't. With whatever he's trying to say. I need a drink. And thanks to him for listening. Great. But Jesus. It's out there. All right. I'm going to regroup. Say goodbye. Weekend edition tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., 7 to 9 on Hail Varsity on Saturday. We'll get you cranked up for Penn State and Nebraska. Don't forget, Black Friday is a week from today. We are going to be at Miller Time Pub from 10 to noon. And we want to see you down there getting ready for Nebraska, Iowa. Your friends at Wilderness Ridge have a great gift of golf this holiday season. So visit the golf shop at Wilderness Ridge on Black Friday for spring savings. They got certificates for you. That includes golf for four for $149 plus tax. You can enjoy that with your friends. Spring savings on foursomes of golf. And can log on wildernessridgegolf.com. Black Friday savings and specials going on. You can log on wildernessridgegolf.com. A quick timeout. We will say goodbye to this Friday on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
One final time, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Bill Dolman on Twitter, when it comes to Nebraska's coaching choice, he says, why not Garth Glissman? Do you see what he did with the Parkview Christian basketball team? That's in reference to Bill's thoughts and not concerns, but just, you know, a slam dunk thing with Frost. Okay, we're going to play over-under, Danny. You're playing, whether you like it or not. Over-under, 300 yards passing by Tanner Lee.
Under.
I am going under as well. Over under 150 yards rushing by Saquon Barkley.
Absolutely over.
You're going over.
Without a doubt.
Is that not the dirtiest, it's the most obvious, even though Penn State's not been running the ball well and Barkley's not been running the ball well?
Right.
Everyone gets well against Nebraska's
exactly.
Run defense?
That's it. Yeah, it's their practice game right here to get back in the rhythm of things, so...
So we're both going under here for Tanner Lee, under 300 yards passing. We're going over to 150 yep. for Saquon Barkley. How about McSorley? Total yards, 400.
Oof, that's a tough one. Well, since he's a dual threat, I'll go over.
You say over four Bills?
Yeah.
Okay. I think he goes over as well.
Mm-hmm.
Turnovers, over under minus two Nebraska.
I'm going to go, I think they're going to be right
snappy.
At you, honestly.
You're going to need hip waders and wings. It's going to be super wet.
I want to say two exactly, but for the sake of this, I'll go over.
So you say there's three turnovers by Nebraska.
Yeah, okay. I'll say that.
Okay. Defensive yards allowed by Nebraska, over under 500.
Over.
Like severely over?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be nearing that 600 mark.
It might. Okay. What's your score? I didn't get you in on the forecast.
My score? I'm going to go 45 to 17, Penn State.
Okay. Okay. I went 45-21.
Okay.
I think it's something along those lines. We haven't done this yet, so we're going to take callers 9 through 12 to qualify for Nebraska-Iowa tickets and Blur Party passes. Callers 9, 10, 11, and 12, you qualify for Blur Party passes and Nebraska-Iowa tickets. We'll do the giveaway on Tuesday, but can dial in and get qualified for Nebraska-Iowa tickets. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 9, 10, 11, 12. You qualify for Nebraska-Iowa tickets and Blur Party passes. So we're excited to get you qualified for that. We will do the giveaway. Am I seeing you next week? Are you out the door for the holiday break?
I will be out Wednesday and Friday. Be back that next Monday.
Well, good, man. We'll see you Monday this week. But
yep.
Appreciate it. Danny Burke, you're awesome. Thanks for checking in today. Callers 9 through 12 qualify right now. Nebraska-Iowa tickets and Blur Party passes. Well, don't miss us tomorrow morning. Weekend edition of Hail Varsity, 7 to 9 a.m. Getting ready for Nebraska-Penn State. We'll spend a little more time on the game, where Nebraska can go, all that good stuff. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a great weekend with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.